Well, greetings to you this morning. It's good to be back. We were gone for a few Sundays there. It's good to be in a house of worship where we don't have to try and have translators. I'm able to sing along and I'm able to understand the message and don't have to read between signs and wonders. So it's good to be here. Well, again, we will continue going through the book of Ephesians. We will try to endeavor to glean what the Lord has given to us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. And, just see what the Lord has for us here. I just want to say this before we get started, that the book of Ephesians was written by Paul, and he was addressing the church. And so I just want us to be mindful that he is speaking to Christians, Christian children, Christian fathers, Christian servants, and Christian masters as we go down through here. This is for us as Christians. It's not for the heathen. It's not for the people. Well, I mean, if they want to honor the principles of God, it can be for them. But this is for the ones that were bought with the blood of Christ. And so I would just invite you to sit up and take notes of what the Lord is requiring of us as Christians. Please rise with me as we read the scripture here. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master who is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Let's pray again. Lord, these are your words. We, as Christians, desire to honor them. We want to be wise men, like the Sunday school lesson talked about. They that hear the words of the Lord and do them, they can be wise. Lord, may this generation be wise Christians. May our children learn how to be wise Christian children. Teach us here this morning. We invite your Holy Spirit, Lord. Without you, without your Holy Spirit, we just have words of men. But we need words of life, words of truth by the Holy Spirit. Come and feed your flock. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So I know we're very familiar with these passages, but I think it's important that we hear them and just go through it again. So verse 1, we'll start there in verse 1, and it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And he concludes that by, "For this is right." It's very simple. Obedience can be defined as the act of following instructions, orders, or commands from a person with authority or higher rank, without question or resistance. It involves willingly submitting to the authority and conforming to their wishes or direction. Obedience typically implies compliance, adherence to rules, regulations, and established standards set by someone in a position of authority. So, children, obey your parents. It's right. Children of Christian families, obey your parents. Just obey. I don't know how else to take it, but it's just the right thing to do. When they ask you to take out the trash, I don't see the place for excuses. Now, if you're sick and are limping, or you could suggest that, well, your leg is really hurting. But I think it's unnecessary to scan the horizon for all sorts of excuses. Just take out the trash. It's the right thing to do. If they ask you to clean the room, just do it. It's the right thing to do. And it's not because they want to have some special authority over you. It's not about hierarchy or anything. It's simply these are the standards that the Lord of Lords and King of Kings established. And again, if I can remind us that Paul was addressing the people that the church that had given their hearts and lives to the Lord. And so if the Lord is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, then we obey our parents. We honor them. From the Lord's perspective, he says, "Children, obey your parents, for this is right." You know, humanity may come up with all kinds of other ideas of how structural society should be. But if we're going to live according to the principles of God, this needs to be taught and practiced among the people of God. This needs to, other societies and cultures may choose to do it differently, but as Christians, we will need to honor the Lord that says to children, obey your parents. So I'd advise you parents not to use this as a control tactic. This is not what God had in mind. But he is speaking to the children so that there could be a healthy structural, a healthy social structure in place, which every healthy organization will need to have healthy social structures, and this is a part of it. Just a little bit of a warning of those that are disobedient to parents. In Romans chapter 1, verse 30, disobedience to parents is in the same context as haters of God. It seems like there should be some seriousness to obedience to parents. Now, I'm going to raise a question. Is there a time when children age out of being obedient to parents? In essence, I'm a child yet, right? I mean, I'm part of my parents. I'm children to them, correct? So I guess I'm raising the question, is there a time when they age out? It may be different in each of our minds, but I would like to suggest that I think there is a time when being obedient to parents does age out. And I would like to have you consider that the same heart of God says that when men or young men or young ladies get married, they are to leave their father and mother and become one with their spouse. And so I feel like I would suggest that obedience ages out. But what does not age out is honor. Honor never ages out, and which we'll get to in verse 2. So that's my thoughts on that. In our home, we're still wrestling with when some of that aging actually happens. Some of my teenagers think it should happen younger than what I think it should, and so there's some tension around that sometimes. A lot of that tension comes from maybe me as a dad and maybe being a little control freakish. I have to remember that they get to look down on me now, you know, and so they are not children anymore, like Todd, you know, like. So we're in a growing process. Probably me more than them, but so I think there needs to be some of that tension throughout the teenage years, and as they look forward into the future of creating their own home, I think there needs to be some release to the independence. I would suggest that some independence be given to teenagers as maturity and responsibility shift. But like I said, one thing that does not change, and that is honoring the parents. Let's go on into verse 2, and that is, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And Paul was referring to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6, when Moses was telling the children of Israel that they need to honor their father and mother as the Lord. Sorry, that is type error, I think. Let me just turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5, 6 says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That's still not what I wanted. Must be have another typo error. I think it's 16. Honor thy father and mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so here, the Lord had put a promise out to the children of Israel that those that honor their father and mother, there will be blessings. There will be rewards for children honoring their parents. And I think if we would be honest and look around society of children who do not honor their parents, how disruptive to a healthy social well-being that is for family setting. When that is violated, when this principle of honor is violated, how disruptive and how sad it is. But that's their choice. But we as Christians, we have been bought with a price. We are following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we desire to have the blessing of the Lord. And so we choose. We may not always feel like honoring, but we choose to honor our parents. Proverbs 20, verse 20 says, "Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." So, honoring your father and honoring your mother is a commandment that includes a long life, health, and I think it also brings peace to the family structure. And like I said, I think all ages can participate in giving honor. I would also like to suggest that honoring, I'm not aware of any qualifiers of which parents get honor and which don't. It seems to me like our culture today is saying, well, if the parents are bad, then you don't have to honor them. I'm not seeing that in scriptures. I'd be willing to have a conversation if you see that differently, but it feels to me like as Christians, we are required, we are asked to honor because our Heavenly Father honors also. And so, and I think that's the heart of why Paul is addressing us here with, like, he's not asking more of us than what our Heavenly Father does to mankind. This is who he is. Parents should be given honor for the role that God has given to them. See, God is the one that has established this structure. It's not humans, it's not us, it's not the church, it's the Lord of Lords that has established this parenting structure, and God says that we should honor parents. God also suggests that we should honor the kings. Why? Because of their role that God has given to them. God suggests that we should honor leadership. Why? Because of the role. And it should be no different in the home with the parents. And may I say again that applying the principles from the Lord will add blessings to our lives. Whether that's honoring the king, whether that's honoring the parents, whether that's honoring church leadership, whether that's honoring husbands, whether that's honoring wives, there is blessing and rewards by applying the principles of God. Okay, let's move on into verse 4. Fathers, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A different version says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. I wish I could say that I've accomplished this well all the time. I confess that I have frustrated my children wrongly sometimes. One thing that I fail in, and even as we're raising teenagers, I fail to forget to slow down and be patient and realize that, oh, they probably just need more information. Oh, they might just need more time to be discipled. Oh, I don't need to just correct. Maybe I need to walk alongside for another a little bit longer. And I think coming in too hasty, too fast, too impatient has been where I fail. One thing that I would like to do is to be a lot more patient and discipling. As I thought of this, bad behavior is a reflection of two things. And here's mine. I mean, there could be more, but here's the two that I came up with. Bad behavior is a reflection of two things. One, it's poor parenting and bad leadership without clear direction and clear guidelines. The other thing that might create bad behavior is just outright disobedience and rebellion and dishonor in a child. So, I'm glad that God, in His wisdom, thought, you know what? We need to put this in a little context in four verses, and we need to tell children, obey your parents and honor them. And then right behind that, He says, and you parents, don't frustrate your children, but raise them up in the admonition of the Lord, disciple them, teach them, care for them, raise them up. It's going to take time. Be patient. Go with them. Go with them on the journey. don't force them. Forcing is what creates some of that frustration, I think. So if children, if parents draw clear guidelines, give direction, disciple well, and children honor and respect and obey, that sounds Christian. That sounds lovely. That sounds like a home where God can be honored and glorified. Let's go for it. Let's keep pressing in. And I invite you to keep me accountable. How am I doing? Am I being patient this week? Honor in the home is a primary place where it should be learned and experienced. Parents need to exemplify honor to their children by showing honor to them, to their children, also by showing honor to the king, by showing honor to the school administration, by showing honor to church leaders, by showing honor to the law enforcement. God's kingdom is established with honor. When Christians fail to give honor, God's principles are violated. Let's go for it. Let's honor each other in the home. Let's show our children how to honor by honoring them. Children, show your parents how to honor by honoring them. We get to do this together. And the name of God can be lifted up and exalted because His principles are applied. All right, now let's go into verse 5, where he's talking about servants needing to be obedient to them that have the... servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in of heart as unto Christ. Again, a different version says it this way: slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. It's been a little bit of an interesting journey for my own self as I went from being self-employed, being responsible, to not checking in with an employer every day, not doing as he would like to see. It's been a little bit of a an adjustment to, you know, you show up on a scene and you're like, man, what's going on here? What happened? And then it's like, okay, Jason, you're not in charge here. You don't realize what's going on. Just show up and help out and give the best that you can here. This is not your responsibility. And so I'm not sure if I'm quite excelling in honoring my employer the best that I should, but I get to. I will, by God's grace, because I receive the gift of salvation, and I have the Spirit to help me honor even situations that seem like could be avoided. Let's do this. It's also been a little interesting to know how to, you know, give that honor with a healthy fear and yet still bringing what I, as my own gifting, how can I bring goodness to this situation? As employees, we need to remind ourselves, speaking to myself now, since I'm an employee, I need to remind myself rather frequently that we don't have the same vantage point as our employers. They have a whole different perspective. Therefore, we probably should be like the children. Just obey. They tell you to do it, just do it. Don't need to know the whole backstory. When he says go pick up a load of peas, just happened this week, the one fella told me, hey, can you pick up a load of ground peas first thing in the morning? I'm like, yep, I can do that. Right after minister's meeting, I'll be right over. Well, on the way home from minister's meeting, the boss calls up and says, hey, we need you over here as soon as you can. We're going to pick up a load of whole peas. And I'm like, okay. Well, I was told to pick up a load of ground peas. No, don't worry about ground peas. I couldn't get off the ground peas thing. I showed up and then I was like, okay, so we're loading peas. Okay. And then after that was loaded, I was like, well, what about the ground peas? No. Don't worry about it. I'm like, okay. I think I can do this, but boy, it's been a little bit of an adjustment for me to, like, what happened to the ground peas? I just want to know what happened to them. We can honor. We can just haul whole peas, and that's good enough. And God can be glorified by just hauling whole peas. It doesn't have to be ground peas. Whole peas. God can be glorified. Hallelujah. We can do this. If we choose to only obey God when we fully understand what He's requiring of us, we are no longer walking by faith. And so, can I walk by faith when I'm asked to just haul the load of whole peas and not ground peas? Can I just walk by faith, and can God be glorified? Because I don't need to know the whole story. If we choose to obey in faith, God reveals the whole picture in time. And if He doesn't, then it wasn't important. And if I never understand what happened to the ground peas, it's okay. All right, moving on to verse 6. And here it talks about eye service as men pleasers. We shouldn't do it when the masters are looking. We shouldn't only just obey them when they're looking. We should do it when they're not present. We shouldn't do it as just pleasing them. We are doing it as servants of Christ. When we obey our masters, we are doing it as unto the Lord, doing the will of God from the heart. It changes the perspective. It's no longer about my employer. I serve Christ, and my employer is served the best that he can get served. Wow, Christian, you have an You have a great opportunity to be the best employee ever, because you are serving the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There is no other higher authority. And you have the privilege to show up on Monday morning and serve the King of Kings by obeying your master. It's not about job security, but it's a good start. I think what Paul is really trying to encourage us here is, it's not about the men that you're working for. It's about Christ, the one that has bought you, the one that has purchased your life. It's about Him. It's the one who has forgiven your sins and made you whole and made you free. It's about Him on Monday morning when you show up and you do what you're told. According to the Word of God, you need to have the mindset that you are serving Christ. You are essentially working for the Lord, not your employer. Verse 7, it tells you what kind of attitude you should have. One translation says, work with enthusiasm as you were working for the Lord rather than for people. King James says, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Do it with goodwill. Do it with enthusiasm. Do it with purpose, because you're serving Christ, not the man. Being a Christian employee takes on a whole new meaning. You're not just serving the men in the business that you are working for. Essentially, you're working for the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Sometimes we may be tempted to think that all we're doing is helping our employees build a bigger business, or can I say, make them sit more lopsided on their wallets. With that mindset, you are only serving the men. God is suggesting by His Word that we do not look at serving men in the work that we do for our employers. God is suggesting that we, as Christian employees, show up and faithfully serve Christ by serving fellow man. And again, God is so good by putting it all in context that, yes, the lopsided sitting employer, God deals with that. God speaks to them. Okay? We don't have to be responsible for that. Let's look at verse 8 yet. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good that we do, whether we are slaves or free. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. God is going to reward you for being diligent and serving your employer. I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus gave about the husbandman when he went out and he called workers to come and help him in his vineyard early in the morning. And he also went out the same day, in the middle of the day, and said, come help work in my vineyard. And then in the later part of the day, he also called workers and said, come work in my vineyard and I will pay you what is right. And Jesus in that parable says, but the pay was the same for all of them. Do we understand that God is just in how He rewards and how He blesses us by our service to Him? God is just. Now let's look at an employer's perspective a little bit. In verse 9, it says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them. Paul is turning what we just read and saying to the masters now, you treat your employees the same way that we were, that I was encouraging employees to treat you. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So this, to you that are employers here, your master is in heaven. You are not the only master. Your master is in heaven. And you have to give an account to how you interact with your employees, how you reimburse them for their service to you. Oh, please be just. Please be like your master which is in heaven that blesses you. Please, please consider how your master treats you. Would you treat your employees like he has treated you? This is good. This is godly principles. This helps the work structure just have health and eliminate frustration when we recognize that both are showing up Monday morning, serving the same king, serving the same person. Wow, that just came to me. Monday morning, Marcus and Corey show up, and they're both working for the same guy. Ha! That's interesting. Wow! Business struggles and family feuds should just... Whoop. Not that there is any. Yeah, please, don't assume anything there. I'm just saying... All that we do, it's because of Christ. We are bought with a price. We are His workmanship. Okay. Now, I would like to again draw our attention, like I started this message, I would like to again draw our attention to Paul is speaking to Christians, to the believers, to the ones that Jesus Christ has died for us, that died for. He is addressing the ones who have been adopted by Jesus Christ. If we remember in the beginning of chapter 1, Paul says, we have been adopted by Jesus Christ as His children. This is who He's talking to. We are His children because He adopted us. We are the ones that received redemption through the blood of Christ and found forgiveness in sin, forgiveness of sin in chapter 1, verse 7. We have obtained an inheritance into the kingdom of heaven. That's why we show up Monday and work for the Lord, is because we are part of another kingdom. We have been quickened and made alive because of the mercy and the great love wherewith God has loved us. That's why we nurture our children instead of controlling them. He raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus by the grace that we have been saved through faith and not of ourselves. But it is the gift of God. This is who Paul is talking to. It's not by works that we do what we do. It's not by works, lest any man should boast, for his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's because of Christ and His workmanship in us is why we obey our parents, why we honor them, why we show up and serve the Lord in our work. You have been renewed in your spirit and in your mind. You are a new man. You don't show up like the heathen. You're Christian. Children, honor the Lord by obeying your parents. You are of a different... You're of a different kingdom. chapter 5, verse 1 says it this way: "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and hath been given and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." We are called to be imitators and followers of God. And this is a practical, and what we just spoke about is a practical application of how to be imitators and children of God. And we're not doing this for salvation. Children don't obey their parents to obtain salvation. Okay, this is not a works. Obeying your parents and honoring your parents is not salvation. Servants aren't obedient to their masters to earn salvation. Masters aren't kind to their employees to gain salvation. But because we have received the gift of salvation, and because we bear the name of Christ, now we go and we honor one another in love, because we have been honored with the gift of salvation, and we have a hope of eternal life, and we have inheritance within our soul, and therefore we can go and honor, and therefore we can go and serve. This is why we are called to this, because we are the children of light. Please don't take lessons from the children that are not of the light. Please take lessons from the word of the Lord. Parents eliminate frustration in discipleship and mentor and raise up their children in the fear of the Lord, because they are children of the heavenly kingdom. Servants go and work and are obedient and give honor and respect to their masters because they are children of the light. Masters treat their employees with respect and dignity and honor because they have received honor and respect from their Father which is in heaven, and they pass it on. Ben and I get to show up tomorrow morning and work for the same Lord. And I also just want to invite you to think of how many times that the Lord is referred to, that Paul is referring to the Lord in these passages. If you look in verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." So it's in the context of Lord. Verse 4, raising and nurturing and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Verse 5, as unto Christ. Verse 6, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God. Are you getting it? It's about the Lord and Him in us, and His workmanship in us is why, therefore, we obey, why we honor, why we serve diligently without eye service, doing a good job day in and day out. That's why we treat our employees with respect. Because the Lord is within. It's about the Lord, brothers and sisters. It's not about us. But the children get to receive a blessing and a promise when they live it out. Go for it. May God add His blessings. And Joy Christian Fellowship shows up at work on Monday morning, all serving the same Lord. That's incredible. May God be glorified. Thank you for your time.